You don't have to believe it, accept it, or welcome it. Some of the stuff we'll find hard to believe. Some of it might startle us. It says that if you use it, you'll see that it works. So I've seen many people appear to me. I know you ultimately don't waste time, but I've watched them with the Course in Miracles analyze it to death but never use it. Try to figure it out all the time but never use it. Debate it and discuss it but never use it. And then they get frustrated and then they drop it and they think it didn't work, but they never applied any of it. Thinking about the Course is not the same as using it. That's what I found out. There's never been a time I've ever applied anything from the Course in Miracles and I didn't get the result that it promised. There's never been a time that I just thought about using it and got it. And it happened. I've had a chance to notice that with a lot of people. So if you think you've been doing something for a long time and you haven't been getting a result, probably you haven't been doing it. Whatever it is. Not just the Course, you know. So the first thing that this section talks about is our changes required in your life situation. Like all of us claim that we want to wake up, that we want to have more peace and we want to have more love, the Course calls all of us teachers of God. And a teacher of God is simply a person that wants to demonstrate the truth, wants to demonstrate love. So the first thing to remember then is that if you're ready to go for the gusto, if you're really ready to go for the power, if you're really ready to go for the happiness that we all say we want, he says the first thing that's required is to change. The change that's required first is in our mind. That's the first place. He says, now, changing your mind may or may not involve a change in your external situation. A change in your external situation might not be necessary to change your mind. But the first thing to remember is that you're not where you are by accident, and that chance plays no part in God's plan. So according to the Course in Miracles, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what's happening in your life right now, it's not an accident, and it's part of the overall plan. That's the first thing to recognize. Because once we recognize that, it takes away a lot of resistance to our lives and to our personal lives. Do I always like it? No. Do I always understand it? No. Does it always thrill me? No. But that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you're not where you are by accident. And it has nothing to do with the fact that there's a divine plan for all of us. Okay, and so the Course says the first thing that's going to happen would be changes in attitude. Notice that it said change of mind, but to bring about the change of mind, the first thing a person has to do is says change attitude. He said that's the first step in the newly made teachers of God's training, is to change my attitude. What would be a good example of that from what we just said? Well, I need to change my attitude by recognizing that I'm not where I am by accident, and that chance plays no part in God's plan, and that I need to change my mind instead of trying to change you. I need to try to change my mind instead of trying to change you. I need to change my mind. You know, I love how during presidential election times, the temptation is always so beautiful to project like whoever's going to be elected is going to be the one that's going to make your life okay, which is absolutely no difference from saying that if you change, my life would be okay. It's the exact same erroneous thought. Just because we say a president doesn't make it any different. Now, I'm not saying that I won't vote. If that's what I choose to do, if that's what Spirit tells me to do, I'll go down there and do it. If Spirit tells me not to, I won't. But anything that teaches me that my happiness is outside of myself is a trick. And that's what the world teaches you, that your happiness is outside of yourself. So the first attitude that the Course says that we would do is to recognize that we're not where we are by accident. Chance plays no part. We got to change our mind, and also and we have to change our attitude first. Then it goes on to say there is, however, no set pattern, since training is always highly individualized. So each one of us has our own special path. So my path to the same place is not going to look like yours. So it won't do any good for me to compare anything about my life to anything that you're doing or anything that you're about. So it's never about comparison if there's no set pattern, and the pattern is individualized. He says, now, then he goes on to explain, there are those who are called upon to change their life situation almost immediately. So some people, when they say they're ready to be happy, that their life situation changes almost immediately. But these are very special cases. It's very rare when someone says they're ready to change and ready to be more loving and ready to practice the truth. He says that most people don't go through some sudden dramatic shift as soon as they say that. What usually happens, he says, by far the majority are given a slowly evolving training program. I'll say it again. So most of us are in a slow program. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Okay, let's face it. But this is telling me, do not beat yourself up because you're in a slowly evolving program. Most people are in a slowly evolving program. So if you think you're not moving fast enough, that's just an erroneous judgment on yourself because most people do this very slowly. Have you been successful at that? How's everybody been in practicing the truth slowly?
Very successful.
Anybody else? Anybody else? pretty good at practicing slowly? Yeah, okay. Now, he says, what happens in a slowly evolving training program is many of your previous mistakes as possible are corrected. So if you're in a training program, you're going to see most of your mistakes corrected slowly. But that correction is going to be a correction in the way you look at it. See, the course is all about how we look at things. And it says that the way that we're looking at things that determines how we feel about things. So the course only works primarily at the level of perception. The course is a book about how could I look at everything differently and therefore give myself a different response. So when people come to the course thinking in terms of physical manifestation, I believe they miss the whole point of what the course is about. It's not about physical manifestation. It's about having inner peace so that you can hear your inner guidance. And in hearing your inner guidance, you'll be told what to do. And then when you follow your inner guidance, you're going to have happiness. And all the rest of it is going to be taken care of. Everything you need is going to be provided if you follow in direction, is what he's telling us. So and then the course defines perception as interpretation. So when you say, I want to change my perception, you're saying, I want to change my interpretation of what's going on. I want to change my perception of my husband. I want to change my interpretation of my husband. I want to change my perception of my children. I want to change how I'm interpreting my children. I want a new perception of my job. I want to change how I'm interpreting my job. So perception is interpretation. And so he says he's going to have our mistakes corrected. And the course says the only mistakes you make is in the way you're seeing things. It's like, how less sad would most people be about the passing of a loved one if they really, really believed that there was life after death? I have an aunt who is like the epitome of what I call the kind of Christian that you feel like ought to be. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what I mean by that is, she's that kind that if you need help and she can help you, she's there. If the Bible said don't judge, she says it's up to God to judge that person, whatever needs to be done, you know. She believes in heaven. She believes there's a reality behind this one. She believes that this is not all that there is and that there will be tribulations in the world. So when her 11-year-old son was killed in a car accident and another son had a sudden heart attack, this was over a big space of years, and also her husband, I watched that lady handle those things from a level of faith and consciousness and belief that was beyond anything I'd ever seen. She was a real believer of God and God. See, the fake believers always say they believe in the higher power, but they're scared and weary all the time about everything. Okay. Okay, the fake believers, they're always trying to figure out how to do it on their own. They're never like in encouraging the thought that there's something greater than their own thoughts. She immediately went to, well, I know they're with God now. I know they're with Jesus now. They're totally completely happy. They're completely whatever. Not saying that she didn't miss that or that she didn't have feelings about it. I just saw her look at it differently. You know what I'm saying? My sister's son was murdered 20 years ago. And it was very devastating. There's nothing more devastating than somebody walking out of the door in the morning and saying, hey, see you later. then that's the last time you see him. And it's your own child. So everybody, so she, of course, she was devastated, and everybody was being as loving as they could in the family to be supportive of her, right? But I was studying the course. And so what I was continually focusing in on her was to feel her feelings, but, you know, that she wanted to know what I had to say about it, was to focus on the fact that her son was not that body, that your son is not that body. And I went over all the parts in the course that was about how to look at death, and it's a different perception. It's like dropping a husk, or it's like dropping a shell when you drop the body, but what you are goes beyond that. So did that change the fact that her son had made the transition? No. But the interpretation she was given, she said, gave her more peace in a very challenging situation than the people who were meaning well, and she appreciated, but they were talking exactly like her son was dead and he didn't exist anymore. So what I'm saying is that no matter what we're going through in our life right now, it's your interpretation of the situation that's determining how you feel about it. And I don't care what it is, you can change that. So there's no situation, I don't care how horrible it is, that another perception wouldn't make you feel better, or couldn't make you feel better. So when the Course talks about a correction of the previous mistakes, it's talking about the previous mistakes that we made in our interpretation of what's going on. And so he says, relationships in particular must be properly perceived. Okay, so if you're talking about waking up, I need to give you another way to look at your special relationships, all of them. And he says, well, what do you do? He says, well, the dark cornerstones of unforgiveness must be removed. If you don't let go of the unforgiveness, then all of the fear returns. Like, even if your perception is corrected and you go right back to holding grievances in your relationships, then the old way of thinking, which is based on fear and grievances, has a way to return because you're not thinking the new way. And when the Course says forgiveness, it's not talking about overlooking what you think somebody did to you because you're trying to be spiritual. When the Course says forgiveness, it's talking about having the correct perception of the situation or the circumstance or the person, which is totally different from what we learned in the world. So when people hear the term forgiveness, they go, forgive, like, oh my God, how can I forgive what they did to me? No, how can I correctly interpret what they did to me? Because if I can get another interpretation of this, I can let this go. But you can show me how somehow or another this benefited me, and I can let this go if you can give me another way of looking at it. So unforgiveness is nothing but a refusal to change your mind about how you're looking at it, even though it's not giving you any peace. Paragraph 1. All right, now, on Wednesday, I love questions and I love discussion and I love to throw it open. And so what do you think about what you just heard? Do you have any comments about it or anything you want to talk about the first part of this? Everybody got this? No problem. You understand it totally.
It might give me a couple weeks before I'll get all that interpreted.
Right, because it looked like it was a lot, you know?
I'm thinking, can you even before you fully understand, open the gates of your heart for forgiveness?
Absolutely.
Even though you're saying, I want to see the different way, I want to interpret it differently, and maybe if you still don't quite have that new interpretation, that doesn't mean that you can't still say, my heart's open to forgiveness. And
actually, that is forgiveness.
Right.
See, that's what's so cool about it.
And then a new interpretation can come in.
Absolutely.
Right.
It would be kind of ridiculous to think you should already master what it is you're learning to do. You know what I'm saying? Which is
right.
The way kind of people respond to the course. They're here about how you're going to be when your mind is corrected. And then they'll beat themselves up about not being able to do it the moment that they hear about the concept, you know. But what the Course has taught me in 27 years is every time I feel like anything in the Course is a strain, it just means I've misperceived what it was saying. That's what you, after you study long enough, you realize it never was asking you to do anything more. It was actually asking you to do a lot less than what you are really trying to do. You know, but in other words, it would be easier for me to get another perception of you than it would be to change you. It would be a lot easier for me to create my reality and me be responsible for my happiness and to realize that I am loved and I am guided than to feel like everybody else around me is responsible for it. You know, it's like the truth is always easier and it's always more powerful than what our ego tells us. And that's how you can always tell when your ego is interpreting the Course. which is the old mind, or when your new mind. If your new mind is interpreting it, then you go, phew. If your old mind is interpreting it, you think that you've been asked to do something that was impossible for you to do. Yeah.
I'm facing that battle of the ego and the true heart.
Mm-hmm.
Just where, when I read this, it makes perfect sense to me. I understand it. I feel like I remembered it from before. And then this morning, that ego got in and just lambasted me.
Right. That's great. Well, it's like that's a really cool thing, because your ego wouldn't be lambasting you if you had not begun to really question some of your old beliefs and become really open. So if you study the course and you never go through any discomfort or disorientation, you probably are not really hearing it. So the key to making your journey through the Course in Miracles peaceful to me is to allow that part of you that is into the drama and the anger and the fear and the confusion, just go ahead and let it do its thing, you know, because that's what you created it to do. You know, it's like your ego is going to tell you you're not enough, that you are separate, that you are worthless, that you're not, nothing's going to go right. I mean, because we educated that part of ourselves to give us that message out of our lack of love for ourselves, coming from the things that we were taught and shown from the time we landed here. So if I've been programming myself for 20 years to tell myself stuff that makes me feel bad, or I've been, so if I decide to change my mind for a little while, I'm still going to be hearing the voice of the past that I've already programmed. And so if you make it okay to hear that voice, but just don't let it direct your actions, then it won't be a problem while you're making the transition over into your right mind, because your right mind will take over. And when it does, you hear those same voices, but it would be like, okay, that's interesting. Not going to do that, but thanks. You know, but when you're in your ego and that voice tells you, that person's really trying to get you and that person isn't any good and that person's trying to harm you, you go, yeah, I believe it's true. See, when you're in your wrong mind, it's the course called. People don't like that term right and wrong, but actually it makes you move faster. If all directions are correct, you'll die before you try all of them. You don't have enough time. But the Course is saying to us, right-mindedness, wrong-mindedness simply means if your goal is peace, there are some attitudes that just don't support that and some actions just don't support that. So therefore, they are wrong. You know, if you really want to have peace and really want to have love, there are some thoughts, some actions that support that. And so we'll call that right-minded. And so that helps me. I don't know about you, but I'd rather somebody tell me the bathroom is that way. If you're going out that way, that's the wrong way. Then somebody would tell me, there is no right and wrong. Go out the door to the toilet. Because all directions are perfect. You will reach a level of consciousness where all directions will be perfect. But what's interesting is that you have to kind of know what level you're operating from, you know. You know, even though there's just reality and the illusion, at the level of moving into the truth of who we are, it's basically like, you know, five dimensions to start with. You know, the first one is, hey, you're just a body and you're here. The second dimension is, guess what? There are groups of us. Maybe it's groups we need to kind of hang out together like the early groups did, even though I'm against this group over here, the tribes and stuff. And then the third level is we created something here and now we're going to defend it and protect it. That's the dimension for the most part. We all acquiring, and then we're trying to protect and defend what we've acquired. And then the fourth level is when you start to question, you know, it might be something more than this. It seems like there has to be something more to life than what I've been taught. And you start beginning to learn the synchronicity, to come to course classes, do stuff that's like awakening you to something greater than what you were taught. And then by the time you get to the fifth dimension, you know how to commune with your higher self and to get guidance from that higher self, and then come back and then practice that and apply that in your physical world while we're giving ourselves this creative play that we call being human. You know, and so the reason why people struggle so much is because they're making up their own plan as they go. Right?
Or I sometimes find that I have my plan, mm-hmm. and I'm in the flow, mm-hmm. I believe,
uh-huh.
and I work on stuff, and then others come in and start to get in my way a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and start mm-hmm. Talking in my ear. And you want to give everyone their space, but sometimes it, for me, it's hard to figure out how to still be pleasant to people when you really don't want them in your space. So when you happen to be in an environment where people are not on the same consciousness level.
Well, it's what
do you
those,
stay
what,
calm? How do you not get affected by that?
Sometimes I get affected by it, and then I make it okay to get. I'm gonna say it again, over and over and over again. The what's gonna make the path hard is trying to like everybody. I'm telling you, if you really, there is a level where it is about nicey-nicey. Everybody's, you know, but there's another level on the spiritual path where you realize that all your feelings are innocent and it's okay that you feel the things that you feel, but then you come from the right thing. You come from the thing that's, what I do, I just call everything love or call for love. Like, for instance, if I'm around people and they're really a pain in the butt, and I'll say that that's a pain in the butt. What I'm always reminding myself of, I'm the pain in the butt because they really are nothing but another aspect of myself. And so what's upsetting me and them is something that's in my own mind. But see, I don't stop there because then you just two times screwed. First, I didn't like you. First, I didn't like you. Now I don't like me either. So how was that higher consciousness? You know, because that's what people say. Well, what I see in you must really be me. Well, if I'm seeing something crappy in you, I'm still seeing you as crappy. Now I'm crappy too. Now how did that help? Now both of us are, you know, if the Course says take it one step higher than that and go, who was it that decided to see anything crappy to begin with? Because that's the level where the answer lies. Who was it that made that decision to see this the way that you're seeing it right now, or to see yourself? Who was the beholder? Who was the witness? Who is that part of you that's deciding what you're doing? Because that's the level you want to get to, because that's the level that you are able to create your reality from, more so than dealing all the time with the result of what you've already learned. So when I look at people in the world, the Course says you only see the past. So the way that I look at it is that I'm not seeing anybody do anything that I have not done, may not do today, or may not do tomorrow. So I'm going to look at it as that's just their call for love, that's just their call for God. And if I can choose out of the situation and don't have to be around that person right then or that situation, then I leave rather than try to change somebody. If I can't, then I have to try to change my interpretation of it. Maybe I'll be successful, maybe I won't, but I certainly feel better than I would if I didn't try at all. And if I fail, you know what? That's Earl's call for love. Hey, give him a break. He's doing the best he can. See, and that's my attitude about it. Because I can't. It's not like there's anything that I can do that's going to cause me to lose God's love. There's nothing I'm going to do that's going to really affect any of you. Because I can't create anything for you without your cooperation. There's nothing I can do to any of you that at some level you don't call to yourself. That's a hard truth, but it's a real truth. So there really aren't any victims. There just appears to be. But it's easier to see that in some situations than other situations. And so rather than me trying to figure out how true that is, I just ask for another way to look at the whole thing. Rather than getting into, well, how was I the victim, or how did I create that, or who created it? It's like, no, I just want another, I need another attitude, like he was saying. I need another way to look at this. But in the beginning, if you're really doing this well, you're going to meet your own resistance. You're going to meet your own subconscious resistance, and your own subconscious resistance will come in the form of the personal relationships that you draw to you. And they're witnessing back to you the parts of your own mind that has not accepted the truth yet. So that's why when you first get into something, it looks like people give you a hard time. It's because they're just mirroring back to you your own doubts about what you're hearing. Because if we really believed it, we'd be living it, wouldn't we? Right. So why wouldn't I meet people who reflect my doubts when I'm not living my truth myself, which shows I doubt it? So it's like I think that I don't doubt it. Of course I'm doubting it. How do I know I'm doubting it? It's not the way I approach my life. You know, tell me how you solve your problems. Tell me how you see your problems, and I'll tell you your level of consciousness. Not what books you read. But you tell me when you walk out of here, when if you think about money, do you think about the economy? Tell me if you when you leave out of here, when you think about relationships, are you thinking about some person outside of yourself that you think you can somehow or another influence, or they can influence you, and then y'all can get together and like each other? When you walk out of here, do you feel like that problem that you have and it's hard because you're a woman or because I'm black or because, you see what I'm saying? The way you look at things, that's your level of consciousness. The way you approach things, that's your level of, if your level of consciousness is not being able to recite the Course in Metaphysical Principles. That is not your level of consciousness.
No.
It's not your level of consciousness to just say, I love everybody, okay? But then I just cussed out the waitress because she was 1 minute late with my soup. No, you don't love everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the course is about getting honest with yourself, because it's not until you get honest with yourself that the blocks can be removed. So the course is a deeper teaching than I think most teachings that people deal with, because it confronts you. You know, like Course says, if you don't let go of the unforgiveness, which is the wrong interpretation, then the grievance will return. You know. Anybody else? Yeah.
Is this so? I'm trying to ask a question about the ego,
mm-hmm.
because when we really are following this Course in Miracles and we get it,
mm-hmm.
and we showed up in physical form, so the minute we showed up in physical form, we had an ego, and so is it about settling down that ego in a way that we can just jump into the, you know, you were talking about the Holy Spirit over here and the ego over
uh-huh,
here.
Uh-huh.
Where
the love and the fear.
Yeah,
right.
And so the love is so outweighed that we can keep that ego settled down constantly or most of the time.
Right, the quickest way to transcend the ego is to put all your attention on love, to put all your attention on the truth, and to put all your attention on the expression of yourself. It's like the Course says, you don't master fear. True mastery comes through love. So he says, it's not about what you don't do, it's about what you do. Like, if the Course is telling me that attack is of the ego, and then peace is coming from truth, then the more I focus on the things that give me peace, the more I focus on being peaceful, the more I move in the direction of what I love, the more honest I am with myself, I'm going to feel better. And if I'm feeling better coming from a loving space, feeling peace, there's not a whole lot my ego can do, because my ego is the part of me that's all about dissatisfaction, fear, and attack. But if I'm not dissatisfied, and if I'm not afraid, and nobody's attacking me, where's the problem with my ego? You see what I'm saying? So it's not the wrestling with the ego. It's about following your heart and going in the direction of your peace and your truth, and not needing anyone around you to approve of that in order for you to do it, or to even understand it in order for you to do it, because that's a big trick too, that people know what's best for them and they won't do it because people around them might not understand, which is a reflection of their fear of having what they want. That's all it is. It's just a reflection that person's afraid to do it, and the minute a person's afraid to do it, they'll tell you all the reasons why they can't. And it just means they're afraid. I don't even pay attention to the excuses that I give myself. I don't even pay attention to the excuses people give me. I just go, okay, you're afraid. No, you can tell me, well, I just can't do this because I've been wanting to do this, but I just work 10 hours a day, and then when I come home, I have 14 children I got to feed, and, you know, like everybody, they come up with all these reasons. You know, I would like to have a real relationship, but you know, you really can't trust these women nowadays. You can't come home. I don't know about you. No, they're going to let me down again. You know, I'm afraid to have a relationship. So every time you're afraid to have something, all you're going to see is the obstacles. And so rather than worrying about the obstacle, the Course says what you would do would be trying to let go of the fear. You would take all your attention and put it on the truth, so the truth could help you let go of the fear. The ego tells you, go out there and try to deal with the obstacle. Go try to fix the obstacle. No, I need to deal with the state of mind that's creating the obstacle. Because if I don't, I'll get rid of this obstacle and create another obstacle. Because I'm afraid. I was in a relationship with you, it didn't work out, it was your fault. Then I had one with you, and it was your fault. And then I had another one with you. See, so far I just haven't chose the right person. So then I break them and then and say, okay, I'm tired of women all together, I'm going to try you now. And then we're going to see, but it's your fault, you know what I'm saying, you know, 2 minutes, that's just not enough time. So it's like, you You know, and so one, that's what the chorus is saying. As long as you got the wrong script, you can give it to as many actors as you want. They're still going to play the same part. So until I change my mind, I'm not going to have a different relationship with any women that I meet. Because it's I'm the common denominator in the situations. So what I need to do is, what if I knew myself, I'd know the right kind of person to be with me. If I knew myself, I would know the right person to be with me. And I could tell in the first conversation whether or not this would be something I should pursue by the way I felt and what was being said to me. You know? Because the chorus is saying you're not really having a relationship with the body, you're having a relationship with the mind. That's who you're really in a relationship with, is the mind. So a lot of times when I'm around somebody and I'm attracted to them, I try to take their body out of the equation. The body was just there to attract me to the lesson. Because all of us have our favorite kind of bait. Right? Come on, let's get real. Right? 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 And then I asked myself, would I want to be with this person if they didn't have a body? Would I want to be with this person if I just had to be with their mind all the time? Or would I shoot myself? And you'll see real quick whether or not that's your soulmate. But when you're enamored of something about what they look and what they say and what kind of position they got and the security they can present and all of that, then you're not paying attention to the mind. And that's who you're going to end up with. And the problem with being with another person is that when you join in a relationship with them, then you are agreeing to experience the results of the way their mind thinks with them. Because if we live together, you know what I'm saying? We live together and I got a meth lab in the house and the police burst in, that's going to affect you as well as me. Because you're reaping the result of the way I think and the way I operate. By your cooperation. But the point that I'm making is that a relationship is always a relationship with a consciousness. It's with a way of thinking. You know, and I don't care how, you all know, I don't care how good the body thing eventually has to give in to who is this person that I'm with. Y'all know that. But we do it over and over again. We'll meet that next person and we'll go, you know, this is it. And it's like, this is it if they're moving in a direction that you feel like you need to move in, and they're supporting you and you're supporting them and going, being something more than what you really are, being together, you're bigger than you were when you were on your own. If it's a real relationship, the fact that I'm with you makes things easier for me. It doesn't add burden. If you're the right relationship, we're going, boy, are we glad we're with each other? Yeah, why? Because it makes our whole life so much better. When you're with the wrong person, you for doing better without them. You were moving faster, you were happier, you had more money too. You know what I'm saying? It's just getting real. You know, yeah. Yeah, so, but then a person would say, well, do I need to go to a workshop to choose the right person? No, I need to learn how to let go of the fear that attracted that in the first place. I need to get in touch with God. I need to get in touch with spirit. I need to get in touch with who I really am. Which is not easier. So then it goes on. Let's go to paragraph 2 right quick. And besides, if you want a relationship, all you have to do is just say to the universe, I am ready to learn. So if you want one right now, just say, I am ready to learn. Get out by yourself, get quiet, breathe, meditate, rule of reading, then go, I am ready to learn. And they'll be sent.
And then they'll say, Holy Spirit, please help me heal this relationship.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, give me the correct perception of this person. You know, it's hard for people to disappoint you if you don't have a lot of unrealistic expectations of them in the first place. That's what I found. Like I would never enter a relationship with a person and expect them to always be able to say what they're gonna do what they tell me they're gonna do. I just wouldn't even fool myself like that. You know what I'm saying? Because then it's harder for me to forgive. But if I knew that you were just like me, which meant you might have the best intentions in the world, but you might not always do it exactly like you say you're gonna do it, then when that happens, I'm in more of a position for us to see if we can work that out.
So is that part of remembering that other people have split minds, and if we don't remember that, we get our healing served.
The Course says we get our feelings hurt because we go all through the day overlooking the obvious. Is that all our problems come from overlooking the obvious? Like the obvious is that human beings sometimes keep their word and they sometimes don't with the best of intentions. That's obvious. You know what I'm saying? So for me to enter into a relationship with you just because you say you're going to always do what you say you're going to do, do you think you're separate from me? Yes. Do you think I'm a body? Yes. Okay, then that means that you don't recognize your spiritual identity yet. So you think there's somebody else you're talking to. Okay? So as long as I'm talking to anybody and they think they're talking to somebody else other than them, then I know that I'm talking to a person that's loving, cute, maybe well-dressed, but asleep. Because you have to be asleep to believe in separation. You have to be asleep to believe in separation. You have to be asleep to know to think that we're not one. Okay, so a person who doesn't recognize their oneness, it would also have to be a person that was in some degree of fear because they are dealing with things around them that they don't know and they don't understand. And when people come from fear, sometimes they don't act loving. Sometimes they're not consistent. Sometimes they lose their temper. Sometimes they're not dependable. So from that moment, I know that this is a person that may have the best of intentions, but they may not do anything that they say they're going to do. And I just love them anyway because now I'm making the decision to deal with them anyway, even though I know that they're not awake and I'm not awake completely either. So the minute I see us as the same, it's easier for me to be compassionate. When I see you as different, then it's harder. See, so, you know, somebody might tell you that they'll never get mad at you, and if you be my partner, I'll never get angry, and you can always depend on me being there, and I'll never get mad, and I'll be totally understanding all the time. It's like, come on. If they don't know that they're the child of God yet, they don't know they're totally innocent yet, they don't know they're unlimited spiritual being yet, then they're going to come from the separation, fearful ego mind sometimes. Which means sometimes they're going to not be consistent. And so you just keep that in mind. And so that way you can take responsibility for whatever happens in the relationship. And that's how you keep your power. Because you look, I know this about you, but I'm choosing to enter into this relationship anyway. And we're going to see if we can move to this real level together. But we're going to both realize now we're works in progress here. Now, if you're looking for the perfect man, I want you to please move on. I don't have that time. I don't have time for that kind of pressure. And then what are you giving me that's so great that I'm supposed to work this hard anyway? My body. That's what you get. Oh, if I give you my life, I can have your body. That doesn't seem like a fair deal. But I used to make that kind of agreement.
Yeah.
You know, I used to make that kind of agreement all the time. Oh, sure, sure. To have someone as selfish as you, I'll change myself. What do you mean selfish? Well, you're asking me to change everything about me. You're telling me what's wrong with me. You're telling me what I need to do to please you. It kind of seems like it's all about you. So actually, you're telling me to become the kind of person that would have someone as selfish as you. So you're telling me if I don't become that person, the selfish person will leave me? Well, I think I'll stay the way I am so you can go somewhere else faster. Yeah, and then that'll give me a chance to see the person that walks up on me and say, you know what? The way you are is just the way I like it. The way you are is just the way I like it. I wouldn't have a man who didn't pick his toes at the table. I said, that's what I want. That's what I got to have. Get to heaven. You know? I need somebody that weighs 320 pounds. I'm so glad you're that big. See, but people don't have that kind of faith that they could be loved that unconditionally. So they think they have to constantly alter themselves in order to be loved. Rather than to love themselves and just watch people be magnetized to them for who they really are. That's a lot easier. Just a lot easier. I was at a dance last night called Gypsy Nation up in Boulder, which is a dance community that heals through movement. And I was just dancing, you know, doing my thing, just feeling it because it was such an incredible day. And I was feeling good. And I was like having this thought, you know, wow, you know, sure would be nice to, you know, because everybody's can't do anything. So sure would be nice to have somebody to dance with, just really just had a good energy, because I was like feeling the feeling. And I opened my eyes, and this most incredible being was in front of me, dancing her can off with everything she had in it. And it was like, and she was like breathtaking. And I was like, see what I'm saying? I was having a good time on my own, not coming from a place of lack, and just saying, wouldn't it be nice? Okay, not from a needed place, from a place of completeness, a place of wholeness. Need met. Now, she was dancing, right? And so the ego was like, the ego man was like, man, you ought to try to get to know her. You ought to ask her what's up wrong. You ought to talk to her. And then she just was attracted to you out of nowhere and came over here. You know, it's like, I'm listening to the past. And so it's like, that's what you're saying. That's what the ego does. It gives you all the programming. So I'm dancing, and I'm looking. And then immediately from the course, I learned to check myself out. Okay, Earl, are you getting ready to come from a get energy? Or are you coming from a give energy? And see, you can't lie to yourself. You know. It's like because if it was just like she came up and was willing to dance with you without you saying anything, everything else that needed to happen would happen without you manipulating anything. So at no point try to get in charge of this experience, and you'll see what it's naturally supposed to be. And the battles, which means that you're supposed to hook up with her, and you were getting ready to walk off the dance floor, she'd say, hey, what's your name? You know, it's my number. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to wonder. We don't have to get. But most people, they think of so much lack that they can't have the patience and the love for themselves to magnetize to them the thing that they want, because they think there's lack. So I got to, okay, this is my last chance. I better make this move. You know, but it's really the other way around. You go, I'm a valuable, beautiful person being. This is another valuable, beautiful person being. If we recognized each other, neither one of us would have to be trying to manipulate anything. You know what this was really about? What? Being in this moment, joining in this movement, joining in this dance, appreciating that blessing that came to you immediately when you thought of it, being as present as possible, letting as much safety and love come through you as possible. And what I noticed was every time I would let go of any get energy coming out of my maleness from the world, you know, looking at it, I'm like, wow. Okay. And I was, now this is all going on in myself. Well, I was dancing good, though. You know what I'm saying? I was working it, you know. And so every time I would go, you know, some person had, you know, it's not about you trying to get anything. You know what she would do? This was totally silent. It was a trippy. Every time I would get out of my get consciousness, she would come up closer to me. It was almost like without me even saying anything, she danced right up to me. I mean, just right up there. Because she was safe. Because I wasn't in any kind of get consciousness. And then a minute my mind would go, oh, Lord, have mercy. You know what I'm saying? Dance without saying a word. She could feel it. See, the thing about it is that as you become realer yourself and you begin to attract people to you who are real, then that's the nature of being real, is everybody knows what's going on. So they're really intuitive, and they, male or female, and they can feel whether you're getting ready to come from a manipulative get consciousness, and they can feel when you're coming from a unity consciousness. And you don't have to even say a word. And so you begin to learn how to draw things to you and create things for yourself through paying attention to your body as a communication device, which is what the Course teaches that it is. That your body is your communication medium. It's how you know what's going on in this plane. And if you start paying attention to what you feel in your body when you're around people and when you're in situations, it will give you so much guidance about the situation that you're in. So, I was totally open. The dance completed, and she came up to me, and we did one of these, and smiled and bowed, and it was a beautiful encounter. It was a complete encounter. There wasn't anything missing from it. It would be only my ego mind that would come up with something that wasn't complete about a moment that beautiful. And it would be only the ego mind that would be trying to figure out how to manipulate that into being source from the future. For the future, not trusting that the same power that popped her right in front of me that time is the same power that will pop my food, that will pop my clothing, that will pop the money I need, the support that I need. That same power that did that would be the same power that would make every area of my life happen. So the mind goes, well, then why did it happen with her and it's not happening in other places? That's easy to know why. I was asking for something completely without any real attachment to the outcome. When I said I wanted somebody to dance with, I was feeling that completely, but I didn't think my life depended on it, or I was going to be in shambles if somebody didn't show up. But the rest of the stuff, I give a lot more investment in. I don't have the same attitude about the other areas of my life as I did about that person showing up. And so the areas that you're struggling in is the area where you're the most in charge of and you think you're the most responsible by yourself. And you know those areas. But for most people, it's always around the money. That's a big one. People believe in God until it comes to money. Okay, there's God. People think it's easy to get love, companionship, spiritual awareness, more peace, you know. But money, abundance, is outside of the laws of God. So that's the, and why? Because that's the area that most people try to handle the most on their own. More than any other area. And that's what people struggle the most, is that very area. And they don't see that connection. The rest of it I'm giving to God, but my bank account, that I'm responsible for that. And you see what you're doing for yourself. And even if you're satisfied, there's probably a part of you that sometimes worries about whether or not it's going to be there in the future. So you got to unfold everything into God, everything into the laws of God. Like, y'all even heard some courses that say, don't focus on that because that's just an illusion. Like, I'm going to tell you. Like, somebody asked me the other day, they said, you know, well, I know the people over there starving, that's an illusion, and they asking for that at some level. That's their spiritual lesson and all that. And that's very, very, very true. And they said, well, how would you look at that, Earl? You know, and I said, well, I had that same dilemma. You know, I just thought about that. I said, a person in the world, you know, if you fell out there and you broke your leg and you was laying on the side of the curb, would you want somebody to walk up to you and say, that's an illusion, and walk off? Or would you want somebody to say, Jose, lay still right there, I'm going to call somebody, we're going to pick you up and we're going to take you to the doctor? See, it's easy to take that attitude that it's just an illusion when it's not you and you don't have no need yourself. Then everybody can do it then. Oh, it just isn't real. It's just an illusion. Yeah. But if you get ready to go out of here and eat lunch today, then you know you believe in it. You, right? Yeah. Or you wouldn't be going to eat today either. If you really thought it was an illusion, why you got a big food bill? Okay? So you know you're lying to yourself when you say you believe it's just an illusion. You said that's what you know you're lying to yourself when you say you believe it's just an illusion. So you would do what you would do if it wasn't an illusion, while recognizing and learning that it is an illusion. So therefore, since I want to be fed, if I'm starving, then if I'm spiritually led to do so, I will support somebody else's physically getting food. Why? Because I'm being honest with myself. I know I still eat. I know I still breathe. I know I still need shelter. I know when it's 15 degrees outside, I don't feel like it's 80. So why am I walking around saying I think it's an illusion in that sense? So I give what I would like to receive at the level that I am on. Because the person who truly was seeing that as an illusion, for real, never would be in a position where they need the food. So they could say it's an illusion because they never would be in a position where they would need it if it was really the way they saw it. So your reality is always meeting you from where you have, from what you really accepted, not from what you're trying to accept. And you know what you really accepted by how you live your life from day to day.
That's deep.
So the course takes you completely out of unawareness of where you're at so that you can really be safe. And if you be honest about how you feel, you are being real. So now you're in a position to meet your reality head on. You know, and then what happened later was that another beautiful person came up, another one came up, so Spirit showed me that again. There is no lack. beautiful beings that have come up to you and be interested in you. You don't have to grab anybody as if that's the last one. You know, just a breath. You know what I'm saying? Like we do. Oh, I get to heaven. I got to keep it. I can't let it go. I just love it. Love it. And it's like, wait a minute. Is this the last one? Is this like Will Smith in Legend, the movie Legend? Are you the last person on earth? What you want to do? You want to go, I want love to come to me through the form that will allow it. You know, if you break up in a relationship and you feel that sadness and that longing, which is natural, but at the same time, that person ain't giving it to you no more. They're not giving it to you right now. They're not giving it to you. You know, how do you know they're not giving it to you? They're not. It's really deep. It's complex, isn't it? How do I know you don't like me? You treat me like you don't. You know what I'm saying? It's not really this. That's the core sense. We've become experts at overlooking the obvious. So when you're feeling that, you go, I'm willing for love to come to me now in the form that's willing to let it flow to me now. That's how you get past to that person or that situation. I'm willing to let love come to me now through the person that's willing to give it to me. And you don't have to worry about what they look like, because if it's the right person for you, that's taken care of. That's in that package. There's no such thing as a person that you love coming in the wrong package. It doesn't work like that. Because if you're loving them, you don't see nothing but a cool package and everything else about them. That's the nature of love. If it's love, there is no ugliness. There's no such thing as ugly and love. They don't go together. You're really kind of ugly, but I love you. That's not the way love works. It's like, you're so beautiful, you just look good to me, period. Because I love you. So love is going to always come in the form that's going to be perfect for you. But sometimes people don't, they because of grievances and fears, they block it and they won't let it come through you, through them right now. And if you spend all your, like the job, it could be a job, it could be not just a person, it could be any situation or circumstance that you're dissatisfied in right now. That's just an area that right now you're creating a block and you won't let it come through. So rather than spend all your time trying to get rid of the block, you just ask for what you want to come through, the form that's best for it to come to you right now, because you know it's another form that actually exists that's best for you, because the one you used to use isn't available. And when one door shuts, another one always opens, because that's the nature of love. Love would never leave you without. It would never leave you abandoned.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does this start with working on your own self-love? Don't you
yes.
think that if you spend time really on self-love and not being judgmental of yourself, that in your consciousness, that you as a soul want to share an experience with another soul, that you almost don't even need to think or ask for it, because through getting through your own stuff and learning to love yourself, forgive yourself, not judge yourself, that being will come to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's almost
absolutely.
Like in my mind, you don't even need to put that energy out for the need of that other being, because
it
really is all through your own.
But you want to fail. That's true, but let me ask you, see, what you want is a fail-safe system. And a fail-safe system works like this. However I work it, it works. Which means that if I am having those times that I look at it as if there's something outside of me that makes me happy, then I'm going to look at it as if everybody outside of me is a part of me and is innocent and deserves love, and that what I want within myself is available. So if I am, because sometimes the fear that we have, the Course says the fear that we may have or the misperception that we have may keep us from being able to heal ourselves, so we need to temporarily rely on external devices and people. So sometimes if I'm too stuck, then I do need somebody to say to me, you know what, you're safe, you're cool. And what would be wrong with that? See, because if you set it up like there's something wrong with you getting external validation, then you're saying, I'm not wanting any kind of external validation. It's fine to have external validation. You just don't want your peace to depend on external validation. But certainly there's nothing wrong with people being a witness to how beautiful you are or how cool you are. You know, in other words, give it all to yourself. Let yourself have it all. Don't get in a battle with the physical world. I can't enjoy the body and I can't enjoy the physical world because that's not going to be spiritual enough. Now, the most spiritual thing you can do is to enjoy the form that you're inhabiting and expressing yourself right now in. Because if not, you're battling with yourself all the time.
Well, it's all energy, isn't it?
I mean, it's all ultimately energy, but it's all ultimately energy, and I sure like the feeling of a hand against my face. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's all energy, but it also seems to me that it's taken physical form, right? And if we would be honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that we believe in physical form more than non-physical form. Why? Who can tell me?
Because we're experiencing
that. Boom! Bam! You know what I'm saying? So if I don't love my physical experience, then I'm not loving where I see myself as being. So how in the world could I have peace and satisfaction in my day-to-day reality when I'm putting it down the very form that I'm existing in?
That's good.
Yeah, it doesn't make. That's what I like about the course. It's super common sense. It's like when you really study it, what it does is it just makes you see that you have a personal conspiracy going against your own peace, and that you're constantly coming up with ways to look at things that don't make you feel good or make you feel afraid. And you see that that's what it is. Like what you're really battling is not people. You're really battling a language and a conversation that you're having with yourself. That's being outpictured in everybody around you. So when you change that conversation in your mind, your whole life will shift right before your eyes. And the course is about that conversational shift. That's what the workbook lessons do. That's what the whole book. If you read the book, I don't even believe it's possible to read the book without going through a change of mind. Because you got to change your mind to read the book. Because it's the kind of book you can't read from your old mind. You just to even read the course, you have to go, okay, I'm willing to look at something that doesn't necessarily make sense to me and I don't understand it, but I'm going to read it anyway. So that's an attitude change right there. And then by the time you get to the end, you're looking at things a lot different. And you'll be seeing the results of it. That's the difference between to studying the course to me and reading a lot of other metaphysical books. You can pick them up and you can read them and you can put them on the shelf. And then you can get it and you can read it and say, oh, that sounds good. I love the secret. You know, I know the power now. Then you take this book and go, what the hell did I just read? Don't you?
Yeah.
That's what you do. It's not a book. It's a book that totally challenges you to look at things differently. It's awesome. It'll save you so much time. It'll blow your mind. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to ask you a question about reading the book. I am on lesson 344, so I have 20 lessons left.
Right.
I've gotten stuck, girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. Like, I haven't been able to read my lessons for the last week. I've been diligent with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's pretty good, and every day meditate on them and stuff like this. So I go, what would that be at the very end? And I've done the lessons before. I just think I'm fascinated that at the end of the lesson that I'm stuck.
I get stuck all the time.
Well, no, I've never had this happen where for a whole week where I'm wanting to read my lesson, I read it and I don't think about it all day, and so it's like the receiving.
Well, that to me, it's like it's almost like to me you got this test. And this test is, will you apply everything that you've been studying and learning up into this lesson, which is to forgive yourself and to be okay and to give yourself peace about whether you feel like reading it right now or not. And then turn around and starting off where you left off when you're inspired to read it again. So to me, it always boils down to, can you give yourself peace about not reading it right now and recognize that for whatever reason right now, this is not for you to do right now. So you could try to figure it out, or you could just make that okay and then go, and when I feel inspired to start back, then I start back, and I start back where I left off. Because the name of the game is not how accurately we do it, but the attitude and the peace that we give ourselves in the process. That's the course. To me, that's what the course is about, peace. Because you know it's your ego. Like you say, you know, I know it. Okay, since you know it's your ego, then you can go ahead and just have a good time, you know. So I'm going to do the love offering now. It's almost 1 o'clock. I got carried away. I really appreciate you all sharing with me. And if you share with the check, make it out to Unity Temple. Then you can also claim that on your and all that other good stuff. And it becomes real. It's not going to be real until you, that's why I'm talking lofty terms. It's like, unless I can use this in King Super, it ain't got no value to me. It doesn't have any value to me. If I can use it with my son and daughter, it doesn't have any value to me. So for me to talk about just really lofty things without saying, okay, how do you deal with it if somebody crashed into your car today when you're at the stop sign? You know, that, because that's the world we live in. We live in a world where we get these endless opportunities to practice the truth.
You know, my friend and I had this fun thing we did when you were talking about perception, where we went to the park, we went to Cheesman Park, we sat down on the bench, and we sat there and said, wow, look at God with all those tattoos.
Yeah.
Wow, look at God.
There you go.
Look at God doing that thing over there. And it's very interesting when we were talking about perception, when you change your perception and you really see everyone as God.
That's right.
Instead of judgment. Wow, look at God doing that thing there.
That's right. That's right. So I know if we get ready to go now.